This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Friday, October 22nd. What a week! All right, the NBA starts up, MLB playoffs in full swing. I believe we had a Thursday night football game. I did not see one play. I followed it briefly on my phone from Dodger Stadium, watching the Dodgers thump, beat down the Braves. I'm not going to tell the full story, but just two quick ones before we get to Odell Beckham and the Browns. And yeah, Odell's a story. So, traffic in LA, obviously, and we get there a little bit late. I think we got there in the bottom of the second. You know, we get there in like the second, but then you got to walk to your seats and all this. We walk down to our seats. Of course, there's people in our seats. They were like, oh, you're here. Sorry. You know, whatever. And as we're about to sit down, we look up and crack, single. We're still getting situated. Oh, look at this nice seat. Whack, home run. Wow, that was awesome. Next batter, single, another home run. It was like, wow, we arrived at the perfect time. It was just like awesome. So obviously, like the losery guy that I am, you know, I take a couple photos. I got the new iPhone. It just got delivered yesterday. I hook it up. The camera's ridiculously awesome. So I take some pictures, and then I go to look at them in between innings. And I'm on my phone, and all of a sudden, I hear a commotion, and, you know, you kind of look up a little, and out of the corner of my eye, I see a ball coming right at us, me and the wife. Everybody stands up, and I fumble to put the phone in my pocket. Can't even get both hands up quick enough. And the ball, which Albert Pujols, you know, the in-between innings, basically just like walks off the field and tosses it over the net. The two teenagers in front of me with their parents, ball goes off their hands, and their dad, sitting right in front of my wife, snags the foul. Not really a foul ball, but the ball. And I'm just sitting there just dumbfounded, like, what's happening? We just got to the stadium and all this shit goes down in the first, like, I don't know, 8 minutes, 10 minutes? It was crazy. And of course, then I'm kicking myself for not being ready. And I said, okay, can't be on my phone checking Brown scores, can't look at fantasy, doesn't matter. I need to lock in case another ball comes over. So then I think it was like the sixth inning, another ball gets tossed over, and the guys right in front of us, the people right next to them. So, like, I could probably reach out and touch the guy if I, you know, was laying down. He gets a ball. And at that point, I'm just like, this is bananas. Absolutely just crazy night at Dodger Stadium. Obviously, the Chris Taylor game, three home runs, Dodgers win. And I told this guy I'd give him a shout out on the podcast. So we go out to, you know, the stadium club thing to check in, and I have the mask on. And this guy goes, wait a sec, I know you. And I'm like, I don't know you. I just got here. He's like, no, I know you, J-Mac. And then my wife starts cracking up. He's like, oh my gosh, dude, I love your takes. I listen to the pod. I follow you on IG. I'm like, are you serious? This guy was not even joking. He's like a huge fan. His name is Donnie. And it's one of those moments where, listen, this does not happen. I'm not trying to flex. This does not happen to me a lot. It happens occasionally. It did happen to me at the Laker game. It happens at, like, Foot Locker. Anywhere there's a bunch of dudes, this kind of thing happens. Maybe at a bar. It doesn't happen when I'm around hot chicks. It just doesn't. Nobody's listening to this that are females anyway. We've seen the numbers, folks. It's like 93% males. At any rate, it was pretty cool of him to say that he likes my takes and blah, blah, blah. And Donnie, shout out to you for being a fan and obviously made me look cool in front of the wife. Not that I need it. At any rate, let's get to sports. So I don't really think it's worth talking about the NBA. The Bucks lose by 40. This is the NBA. Luka Doncic loses by 20. The Warriors win a thriller. Just want to point out the great Steph Curry, the legendary Steph Curry, second greatest point guard in NBA history. And Rob, I can hear him wanting to jump in and dispute any of this, but it's impossible. Curry opened the season with a trip dub against the Lakers. And in game two, against the Paperclips, he gave him a 45-piece. So, just file it away, the greatness of Steph Curry. Don't doubt him, ever. The league is a better place with Steph Curry in it. Now to the NFL, where, yes, we will have picks for the weekend. College football, not many. And NBA, many. In the best bet. Hopefully, I can get you guys some more money after last weekend. Listen, the teasers have been gold. Browns failed us badly last weekend, at any rate. So I'm following this game on my phone, and I keep looking at fantasy, and I'm waiting. Like, oh, okay, Johnson's doing well. That's great. That's cool. Felton, touch and go. What's going on with Odell? And then finally, you know, I get home. I see 6 targets, 2 catches, 23 yards, and you look at what Odell Beckham has done this year. Got 14 catches on 27 targets. 5 games, he's got 203 yards. He does not have a catch over 30 yards. He does not have a touchdown. I'm not besmirching the good name of Odell Beckham, but is he good anymore at football? Is he? I think it's a legitimate question. All of a sudden, you look up Odell Beckham's 28, and he turns 29 here in a minute. This is what's wild. Odell turns 29 in 2 weeks. Okay? Odell Beckham, all of a sudden, you're like, wait a sec. How long has he been in the league? 2014. He was blowing up with the Giants, 15, blowing up, 16. Monster year. And then it all unraveled. I think 2016 was the year they got to the playoffs and the boat trip. And then after that, it's been pretty much all downhill. And Odell Beckham has been hurt. He under 500 yards last season in Cleveland. Doesn't have a touchdown this year. This guy was on a path in his first 3 years to be one of the greatest of all time. He had 35 touchdowns in the first 3 years. That's like Moss, Megatron, Jerry Rice type stuff. This should be probably a question in that board game. Shoot, Rob G, I'm spacing. What's the board game that a bunch of couples play where Trivial Pursuit? I love Trivial Pursuit, not only because it's fun, because I'm dominant at it. At some point, Odell Beckham's going to be a question. This flashy wide receiver who made the catch came out of LSU, lit the NFL on fire with the Giants, was going to be a superstar. He does not have a playoff win in his career. He's turning 29. Now, he was on the Browns last year, but he was injured and did not play in the Steelers playoff game in which they won. He was on the boat trip right before they went to Green Bay and they got smacked around by the pack. I mean, Odell Beckham, is he a star anymore? I know he's got the Nike contract. He carries himself like a star. People draft him in fantasy. He's probably a top 20 jersey seller in the NFL. But real talk, is Odell Beckham still a star? And to that, I would say reluctantly yes, but the definition of a star is constantly moving. Like, does this player sell tickets? Yes. Does he sell merch? Yes. Do young, impressionable tweens and teens know who he is? Of course. But where does the production back that up? Certainly not. So I'm sure some people are going to quibble with it. Yes, Odell Beckham is still a star. But I think the bigger question is he good at football anymore? I don't know the answer to that. Can he get open? Is he trying to get open? I'm telling you, I was at that Browns Chargers game with some friends. And you could see Odell, when he's not getting the ball, not getting looks, starting to dog it at the line. And late in the game, that final drive, the receivers have to run deep routes in the 2-minute offense. And every single down, Odell Beckham is walking back to the huddle, taking his time. And you just see like Donovan Peoples-Jones, the kid Schwartz, the tight end, they're all on their horse back to the huddle. And Odell's just walking. And I know he's being a good soldier. I'm not trying to start something. But the reality is, I don't know if he's a good football player anymore.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Wow. Now that is a spicy take. When we talked during the pre-show meeting, I wasn't expecting something that sizzling. Let me ask you a question. I do not think he's a star anymore. I think that in order to match and become a star, there's a difference between being a celebrity, which he is, and being a star. His production doesn't warrant him being considered a star to me anymore, in my opinion.
Okay, hold on. Let's define star. What is a star?
a star is somebody who transcends the sport, which he does, but is also one of the elite players in that sport. And I don't think, whether it's due to injury, whether it's due to being in Cleveland, he is no longer an elite wide receiver. Which is funny because according to at least one metric, I don't know if it's Pro Football Focus or Next Gen Stats, I have to look it up. But coming into Thursday night, Odell had been open on 72% of all of his routes beyond 5 yards, which is the exact same percentage as Davante Adams, who I think is the best wide receiver in football. So he's obviously got some skills. He's obviously got some skills. But at some point, production has to matter. And after last night, he has 3 of 5 games where he's been held under 30 yards. Since he's been in Cleveland, he's had 8 games under 30 yards out of 28, I believe, that he's been able to play. Go back to when he was in New York. It only happened 3 times in 59 games. So whether there's something in the water, whether it's Baker Mayfield, which you can't blame it on last night because Baker didn't play, there is something amiss with Odell in Cleveland. And if there's anybody who needs a change of scenery right now, even though I know that the Browns are still in the hunt, they're still considered a viable playoff team, he's not worth the money they're paying him to not catch balls. He's not an impactful player.
Well, and that's the question. Like, if he's a star and they try to trade him, who wants him? Is there any, what's the market for Odell Beckham?
If he's legitimately available,
I don't think it's a robust market, dude.
I can tell you Green Bay would go after him. The Raiders would probably go after him. I don't think the Chargers would. The Chiefs might, you know, because they have this idea that they can keep pushing the cap forward after year after year and just load up on guys.
They just got Josh Gordon.
Yeah, it's Josh Gordon.
No, but like,
hasn't been good like in 7 years.
You really think that they can grab him?
I think they could if they wanted to. If he was legitimately available, I think they could. But the problem is, I think that Cleveland knows that if they were to trade him, here the trade deadline coming up here in about 2 weeks, they'd be taking pennies on the dollar for him because his talent is still there. There's just something that doesn't work with him in Cleveland. There's just something that's amiss between him and that offense.
Is it really? Because, I mean, you look at the years and his production has declined significantly since those first 3 years. He has not, whether it's health or what, he has not looked like the same player. And I maintain that in the same way that Kyrie Irving completely changed as a player and the perception of him and what he thought of himself after he made the shot in Game 7 against the Warriors. Because remember, when Kyrie Irving was with Cleveland and they stunk and they were winning 25 games, nobody cared about Kyrie Irving. Nobody. Kyrie hits a shot, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Uncle Drew, superstar. This guy, amazing. Oh, my God. Like, and it all went to his head, and he's just been like, get me away from LeBron, get me away from Brad Stevens, get me to Brooklyn, now I'm sitting out. I mean, it's just he's become a diva. And you look at Odell Beckham, and I don't remember any of this behavior at LSU. He gets to New York, was a model citizen, makes the catch, becomes a global sensation, the deal with Nike, and he became a massive diva. And we could say all we want that, oh, yeah, well, he hasn't erupted. Mount Beckham has not erupted yet this season. Who cares if he's struggling? He's being a good guy. I would challenge you to say, is he? Are we sure he's not on the down low going at Baker Mayfield and saying, yo, you got to give me the ball, dude? Are we sure? And Baker's just not keeping that in? Because there's nothing in Odell's DNA the last 7 years in the league that says he's going to be cool with this two catch 25 yard outputs making, what does he make it? $10 million a year?
Like 15,
come on.
I think.
Like 15 million a year.
Well, it's funny that you say that we haven't had the big eruption because this has kind of been a talking point now for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, where people are like, hey, you know, are you okay not getting the ball? You're not putting up the numbers that you're used to. He's been playing the good soldier, but he kind of slipped a little bit last week before they had their game against the Chargers. Someone asked him, about his lack of production and you know, what he feels about it. Here's what he said. He said, quote, "I can't sit here and lie like I don't want the ball. Like I tell you every time I get up here, they don't pay James Harden for defense. He's a shooter. I feel like I'm a shooter." Now, he cleaned it up later by saying, hey, but you know, as long as we're winning, it's all good. I mean, the Browns are 4-3. You know, Baker Mayfield may or may not ever become an elite quarterback, but especially not with the banged up shoulder. You know, he's been limited. He's going to need offseason surgery. Kareem Hunt's hurt. Nick Chubb is hurt. One of their tackles is still hurt. Jarvis Landry exited the game last night for a little bit. You know, if they got lose Steelers next week to Pittsburgh.
Well, by the way, is Pittsburgh on a bye?
Oh, they might be. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man, that's bad news.
So if they lose next week, it's possible, you know, that maybe they say, hey.
Well, it's also interesting, Rob, that last year, Odell goes down with the injury. They still get to the playoffs. They win a game in the playoffs without Odell. It's like, oh, your $15 billion receiver maybe isn't that instrumental. And again, I've maintained, like, look at the Chiefs. Like, honestly, guys, Tyreek Hill was not Tyreek Hill when he got to the league. Okay? He's built by Pat Mahomes made Tyreek Hill. Now, I'm curious, Rob, if Tyreek Hill goes to the Detroit Lions, is he Tyreek Hill?
No. The Lions, I mean, come on.
What if he goes to the New York Giants?
No, they don't have
a quarterback. I can't believe you have to think about that. I got Miami Dolphins. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
No, give me someone with at least like an average quarterback. Then it'd be a good discussion.
Kirk Cousins and the Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look what he did to Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, he's done all right with some receivers. I don't think he's, you know, all really, caps Tyreek Hill, but he's pretty good.
Yeah, we underestimate fit a lot, you know? Kyler Murray plus Cliff Kingsbury, smashing success. McVay plus Stafford, just winning. Some of these work. It doesn't totally feel like Odell fits in Cleveland, you know? Cleveland, kind of a blue-collar town, hardworking, bring your lunch pail. I think of the Browns, I think of like Smash Mouth, late 80s, Bernie Kosar, Ernest Biner, Kevin Mack. Rugged teams, not prima donna wide receivers. Like Webster Slaughter, guys who are going to go over the middle, catch a tough six-yard slant, get jacked, get right back up, and go down the field. Like I think of as toughness. Cleveland's a tough city. Is Odell Beckham tough? I'm not saying he's soft. I'm saying he just doesn't strike me as tough. But I think this is a real concern for the Browns. You know, trade deadline coming up. Big game against Pittsburgh, quarterback banged up. Like, nothing's lining up for Odell and the Browns this year, but we shall see. I guess the Broncos, Rob, I didn't watch the highlights that I saw overnight. You know, Teddy Bridgewater looked okay. Nothing special. I mean, they did not really generate any offense until the second half when they were down 10-0. But, like, this Denver team is just going backwards. Was it the Browns D or the Denver offense?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's never been known as a guy who really stretched the field. And, you know, so Cleveland didn't really have to have that threat of getting beat deep.
Yeah.
And, you know, the front of Cleveland made him a little bit uncomfortable. It looked like, I think Bridgewater got banged up a little bit, but not so much where you think it'd be totally like hindering him as a quarterback. He's just, you know, he's not the kind of guys. He's very Baker Mayfield in that regard, where because, you know, Cortland Sutton can fly down the field too. It's just, you know, Teddy doesn't throw him the ball that deep that often.
Yeah. All right. So that kind of wraps up a, I would say, moderately interesting Thursday night in sports. This weekend should be a good one. Important baseball. Important soccer, you know, to some people. Don't scoff. The NFL schedule is a little wacky, but as you're about to find out in the best bet, this could be a chaotic weekend. And without further ado, let's start the best bet.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
It's a weird week in the NFL. I'm going to start with the NFL and then we'll go to college. Last week, the public won big. So the public cleaned up. The books took a beating. Every teaser, every parlay hit. What does that mean? Think about this. Public is flush with cash. Big winnings last week. What are they going to do? Are they smart and disciplined and they're going to pocket it and invest it and put it in their 401k? What are they going to do? IRAs? What are they doing? What do you think they're doing? They're coming right back. Oh, I got this. I understand this market. I'm going to come in and crush. And look at the week that they picked if they decide to come back in heavy this week. For my opinion, this is a week you be very careful. You tread cautiously. This is an ugly one. You know one of the cardinal rules if you've been listening to this pod, you know, read my stuff, followed me way back to the big lead and all that. Double-digit favorites are risky as hell in the NFL. Extremely. There's four of them this week, okay? Four. If you're going into, I'm going to go ahead and spot Houston 18 points. Like, that's risky, folks. The Rams, that was 13.5. It's up to 16.5. Probably going to touch 17 here soon. I mean, it's just, this is really a super dangerous week. Tampa Bay, also a massive favorite. Actually, no, there's only three double-digit favorites now. It looks like Green Bay came off the 10 and is down to 8. Interesting. So when you remove those, you've got the teams coming off the bye, or teams on the bye. You remove the Thursday Night Football. What are you left with? I have a big, for my, the $4 million contest, for one of my new processes is I go through each game and I either put, okay, I'm going to look deeper into this. There might be a side here or stay away. And I'm telling you, I've looked at every angle of Cincinnati, Baltimore. A lot of the professional gamblers seem divided on this one. A lot of guys like Cincinnati. And then you look at Baltimore and you're like, come on, are you really taking the Bengals here on the road? What is this going to go down to 6 or up to 7? Like, I just have a big red X by that. I kind of, sort of think that Cincy's going to end up being a public dog on the road against the Ravens. Just think about this before you put money on the Bengals. Zach Taylor against John Harbaugh. Like, this is a guy, Zach Taylor, and I don't want to hear like, well, he didn't have players. Now he's got players. You do realize they're scraping by in close games and losing to the Packers after they lost Jair Alexander, right? They crushed the Lions last week. That's fine. I was way off on that. I thought the Lions would have a chance. You know, they showed well against Jacksonville in the second half after they should have been down 21-0, bungling the 4th-and-1. Like, I like Cincinnati this season. I don't like them here. So that's a pass for me. Carolina favored by 3. I kind of want to take Carolina, but the injuries are just unbelievable on both sides. And then you think, wait, say this out loud. Carolina's favored by 3 on the road. Carolina has lost 3 in a row. Their best player, McCaffrey's out. Their best defender, or maybe second best defender, Shaq Thompson, we don't know if he's going to go. Like, are we taking Sam Darnold on the road as a favorite? As a dog, if he's getting points, sure, yeah, I'll take Sam Darnold getting points. So you start going through these games, there's just a lot of X's. And one of the, I really like two games a lot. The two I loaded up on this week. Number one is Kansas City. Yes, I know. Barf City. Jason, what are you doing? You're crazy. Just remember, the Bills on Monday night were either 6, 6.5, 7-point favorites in Tennessee. 6 days later, Kansas City goes into Tennessee, and they are 4.5-point favorites. Does that mean that Buffalo on a neutral field is favored over Kansas City and Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid? I don't think so. And I know Buffalo just beat them. That's fine. I get that. You know, we're not going to mention the weather or Chris Jones. Buffalo outplayed them thoroughly there. The turnovers were significant, obviously, but in no way, shape, or form is Buffalo that much better than Kansas City. I think this is a little bit low. I do think when you talk about the Titans celebrating after that win on Monday, Derrick Henry had 20 carries. You know, the defensive injuries are mounting. They've got cluster injuries in the secondary. Their number 2 cornerback, their number 3 cornerback, both out. I mean, you just look at what Josh Allen did. What do you think Mahomes is going to do? Now, there, of course, listen, nothing is a lock. Tyreek Hill is injured. We don't know what's up with him, but Chris Jones is back for Kansas City. I think the Chiefs win this one fairly handily. It feels like maybe a 38-23, 41-27, something like that. But I like Kansas City favored by 4.5. And the other one I like kind of a lot is the, Philadelphia Eagles getting 3 on the road. And I looked at this one deep for Fox in the column, and the Raiders have kind of killed me this year. Rob G's Raiders took me out. I had Baltimore in the opener. I had Pittsburgh the following week. I had Broncos last week. But there is a common denominator in all those games. The Raiders were underdogs. 3-1 against the spread as underdogs. What happens when they're favorites? Any idea? You want to take a guess? Yeah, they don't deliver. Did not cover against Miami. Did not cover against Chicago. Lost that one outright. Oh, and now they're coming off a huge divisional win, you know, the first game without Gruden, and they're facing the Eagles, and they're favored. And I know you probably don't think the Eagles are that good, but remember, Lane Johnson's been out personal reasons for a few weeks. He returns. Now you get your original offensive line back. They had put Mailata, the guy they gave a ton of money to, their left tackle. They had to move him to right because Dillard can't play right. He can only play left. And the line was doing a musical chairs thing. Lane Johnson comes in. They should do a fine job against Max Crosby. And it's funny because after Crosby, who, by the way, has been a terror, he's leading the league in quarterback hits, hurries. I mean, he killed Teddy Bridgewater last week multiple times. And I just look at this Raiders defense and I'm like, Jalen Hurts is going to be fine against them. He's going to be fine. Remember, yeah, Jalen Hurts was bottled up by the Bucks for 3 quarters. He is a backdoor king coming in there heavy, winning everybody money last Thursday. But then you also look at, like, the Eagles defense kind of couldn't get any pressure against Tampa. Great offensive line. Dallas, great offensive line. Oh, have you looked at the Raiders O-line? It is terrible. A bottom 6 unit in the league. I think bottom 7 unit in the league. They're playing terribly. And what happened last week, or a couple weeks ago, when the Eagles faced a bad offensive line? Not a good one like the Bucs or Cowboys, but a bad one like Carolina. Oh, 3 sacks of Darnold, 6 tackles for loss, 8 quarterback hits. This is an Eagles defensive front that's pretty good. Now, I do have concerns of linebackers. I don't think they stand much of a chance against the kid Waller, who's going to be a machine. But on the outside, Slay, Big Pay Slay, he's having a good season. Nelson, the former Steelers cornerback, they're playing well. Hopefully they can hang with Third and Renfro and the burner Ruggs. So I think the Eagles have a chance to win this outright. I don't think that highly of the Raiders defense nor their offensive line. Trenches are big. I took the Eagles getting 3. Those are my 2 that I feel best about. After that, I know we touched on Sam Darnold a couple times. Panthers, Giants, I think one of the more obvious bets this week is the under on that. If you look at the Giants injury report, it's brutal. This line was at 45. It's down to 43. I still think this one goes under. It's going to take, like, you know, a pick six or two, a fumble strip sack of Darnold, which entirely could happen. You know, Danny Dimes is always potential for that. But I'm kind of on the under there. And then the other side I like, and this is, again, this is not going to be popular here, but I like, for some reason, the 49ers coming off a bye here at home against the Colts. And everybody's back on the Colts, right? They saw them kind of dominate the Ravens for 3 quarters before choking. And then they saw them kill the Texans. You know, what are you supposed to do against bad teams? Beat them. And they did that. And they're like, oh, Carson Wentz only has 1 turnover this season. He's playing great. And now T.Y. Hilton back. Hold up. T.Y. Hilton hurt after playing 1 game. Not at practice earlier this week. Don't know if he's going to be back. And why do we not know if he's going to be back? Well, what game do you think the Colts value more? Traveling across the country to play San Fran, out of division, out of conference, or next week's huge rematch with the Titans? A couple weeks ago, Titans took them down 25-16, and the Colts' only path to the playoffs is through the division. There's no shot at a wild card. None. It's not happening. AFC's way too strong. So now you're like, oh, well, you know, the right tackle, Smith, he's dinged up, doesn't look like he's a go. Quentin Nelson might come back, or he's a week away. But either way, if you're on the fence, why not hold the guy out an extra week So he's 100% for your huge divisional match with Tennessee. Just picture this. Tennessee loses to the Chiefs. Colts say, oh my goodness. What? Regardless of what happens against San Fran, if we're able to win against Tennessee next week at home, we're right there in the mix for the division. And again, I'm not saying anybody's throwing a game, but if you're not 100%, you sit out, right? T.Y. Hilton, we'll see what happens. Smith, we'll see. And Quentin Nelson, we don't know, though he is back at practice. They did lose another defensive back. They only have three safeties on the entire roster right now due to injuries. Colts are really banged up. Of course, on the opposite side, you got the Niners with Jimmy G coming back. Trent Williams, their left tackle, who Pro Football Focus has as the number one graded left tackle this season. He's injured. Kinlaw on the defensive line is hurt. What has been the Colts' strength this season? The dump-offs to Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines. Those guys are really carrying them in the pass game. Screen game is strong. But it looks great against Baltimore and their weak linebackers. Good luck against the Niners linebackers, who just happen to be, according to Football Outsiders, fourth best defending running backs as pass catchers this season. And if you look closely, Hines and Jonathan Taylor are tied for third in the Colts in receiving. So Carson Wentz loves a good check down. That's his bailout. I can see the Niners defense coming through big here, winning in the trenches, and Jimmy G coming through. The only thing I don't like is the line. 3.5. It's come down off 4 to 3.5. I'm leaning toward the Niners. I would toss them in a teaser. And, you know, I'll wrap up the NFL with this. This is another great week for teasers. I know it's tough to stay on the sideline. Maybe you got Survivor, you got Fantasy, and you say, you know what, I'm just going to really do a couple teasers. I'll tell you the teasers that I really like. The Rams, which I have a feeling they're moving it up to 17, partially for teaser protection, because everybody does a 7-point teaser. Well, you land on 10, there's no value there. We know on the teaser rules you want to go through 3 and 7, because those are the key numbers that NFL games land on dating back many, many years. If you can get the Rams, you might have to bump it up to an 8-point teaser. But the Rams, if you can get it down to a touchdown, you just got to love that. I don't love the big number because, again, it's not a great idea long-term, double digits, and to go against teams like the Lions who are winless. And, oh, yeah, they lost by like 25 points last week. They will give a max effort this week. Usually these teams bounce back. These are professionals, millionaires. They don't just stay down unless we're talking about historically bad teams. I don't think the Rams are there. So I would put the Rams in a teaser. I like Baltimore. As I said earlier, I don't like a side there, but I would, you know, you tease Baltimore down to a pick or getting a point or whatever. Baltimore for sure. Tampa, Lock City in a teaser. I actually might put Tampa in the contest. With no run game, right? The Bucs have the number one run defense, fewest rushing yards allowed this season. Justin Fields is going to go out and get you, 21 points? You see that happening? On what planet is Justin Fields against a great defensive front moving the football down the field? Now, I know the secondary is susceptible, but, you know, we thought that about Matt Ryan. We thought that about Jacoby Brissett. And what happened? Tampa at home has destroyed bad teams. Let's be real. The Bears are not a good team, folks. So you tease Bucks from like 12.5 down to, I don't know, if you get 4? Can you get 4.5? I think there's no scenario where the Bucks with extra rest don't win this game by at least a touchdown. But I would not be shocked if they won this one like 38-17. They're just so much, they're better against really bad teams. And just remember, Todd Bowles, pretty smart defensive guy against a rookie quarterback. Big edge to Tampa. And of course, Green Bay is one that I like as a teaser as well. You teasing the Packers down to just winning at home. I think I saw a stat that Aaron Rodgers, something along the lines of, even as a double-digit favorite, straight up at home, he's like 22-2. So just winning the games. And they can win with the ground game with Dylan and Aaron Jones. They can win through the air with Devontae Adams. Washington, again, before you consider, hey, the line's moving, people are betting Washington, I don't know what they're doing. I don't. Go look at the injury report. Right side of the offensive line, injured. Antonio Gibson, injured. He may play. McLaurin, injured. He may play. Like, they're so banged up. The secondary's terrible. Under no circumstances would I take Washington here. I know people aren't going to like it, but for me, it's Packers or pass, and definitely Packers in a teaser. So those are my NFL picks for the week. College football, it's kind of a weak slate. I would advise to mostly stay away from the ugly games. If you look at the top 10, almost every top 10 team is favored by like three touchdowns or more. Big weekend on passing. I will say I took a chance, my first bet on Clemson this season. It's so funny how far they've fallen. Clemson basically a tire fire this season. 0-6 against the spread against FBS teams. Remember, this is a team that's been to the playoff 5 years in a row. It's unbelievable how bad they've been, but they're off a bye week. They're getting points. Most of these losses have been as favorites. They're getting points at Pittsburgh, and this either feels like Pittsburgh exacting a couple years of revenge against Clemson for epic beatdowns the last couple years, or Clemson flexes and says, hey, we're not dead yet. I have a feeling Dabo's got something cooked up. If you can get the hook, getting 3.5 Clemson, come on. You got to take that. So I like Clemson. Keep an eye on the total. Total also coming down a little bit. It never hurts if you're on the dog and the under. And the other game I like, let me see here. Clemson was one, and the other was, Iowa State, favored by 7. I know people are going to be surprised. I gave out Oklahoma State last week. Texas against Oklahoma State. Texas was a winner for about a quarter and a half. Lock City, about to go up 24-3, and then it just imploded. Unbelievable. But I'm taking Iowa State, favored by 7 at home, and I like UCLA, favored against Oregon, kind of a big Pac-12 game, if such a thing exists. So meager slate in college football. But the NFL, I'm just saying, be careful. A lot of big spreads. Just because you won money last week, you don't have to fire it all back. Gamble safely. Have a great weekend.